This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye, hello, wherever you are in the world, welcome along. Second show of the night, this is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us. If you are watching on YouTube, get in the chat, get your questions in. We've got the man who knows it all. Well, I'm building up his part a little bit, but hopefully he'll have some answers for us, or at least answers that are in English. As you remember, we had Gavin McGowan the other day, the ex-press officer for the EFL, and he said apparently everything is available, that they're not doing anything behind closed doors. Everything is available. All you've got to do is Google it. Googled it. It might as well have been written in Chinese, to be honest with you. All lawyer speak, etc. Couldn't understand a word of it. Maybe I'm just thick, I don't know. But thank you for joining. Do get your questions in the chat. And if you are listening via your favorite podcast platform, thank you very much for doing that as well. Really, really, really do appreciate it. So we've got first of all, let me bring my co-host in and say hello, Kate from Bristol.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How is the hotel?
Yeah, it's all right, thanks. Although I've been here all day today, it's not stopped raining. It's been absolutely awful. So I hope it improves to the match tomorrow. I think that storm's coming in tonight, and it's been awful. It's been hailing and all sorts. Four seasons in a day today.
So tomorrow when you come on the watch along, we'll see you in your raincoat and umbrella up.
yeah, standard look, really, looking totally windswept and like I've been dragged through a hedge. So just expect the norm, really.
Well, I didn't like to say that, you know, I'd let you, but whilst you do enjoy your 5-star break, you know, with your spa and swimming pool and everything else.
Absolutely. But this, I mean, yeah, Bristol's nice, but it's not a 5-star spa. Well, it was kind of a spa today. I got a full wash down today outside in Bristol.
It sounded like you've gone outside and somebody's turned up with a hose pipe.
They may as well have done. It was absolutely ridiculous. But hopefully tomorrow, I think tomorrow's looking a bit better, but it couldn't have got much worse today. It was awful.
Well, let's hope it puts Bristol off more than Leicester. And of course, our special guest this evening, let's give him a big welcome and say hello to where's he gone? Hang on a second. He is there. Hang on. There we go. Owen, good evening and thank you very much for joining us.
Evening, guys. Thank you very much. Good to know that the Leicester Till I Die expenses is putting Kate up in a nice spa this evening.
Yeah. Well, she'd already put her claims in for this 5-star hotel, but it looks like she's staying in a 1-star travel lodge and making in the difference. Not that I'm accusing her at all, eh? You understand?
Of course.
I made the budget
string
go very far.
Doesn't know. Hey, you're lucky you didn't get, like you say, a camper van, the Rest Until I Die camper van. But look, here we go. Where do we start? I'll do what I'm going to do to start. I'm going to put you in the middle. And then that's, there we go.
That way. Oh, wow. And now I feel special.
Oh, well, you should do. A rose between two thorns, as they say. I was looking forward to having a couple of weeks off. For the international break, as I'm sure you were. I thought, no games, I was going to cover the friendlies, just put my feet up for a couple of weeks. My God, there's nobody like Leicester City for ruining your holiday, is there?
Yeah, no, I was the same. I saw the fact that there was going to be 9 games in 37 days from tomorrow and thought, I need to recharge or do something, or do nothing, probably. It's probably the better way to describe it. So, thought I'd have a nice quiet international break, and then all of a sudden there's charges, there's alleged breaches, there's all sorts coming out of everywhere, and it's never quiet, is it, following Leicester City?
It's not. But look, before we get on to the FFP, PSR, PPI, WTF, whatever we've been charged with last. Obviously, we've got the breaking news, elephant in the room. Let's get this out of the way very quickly. Willie Kirk been dismissed. I suppose it was inevitable, really. We won't know what has gone on fully. But he was doing a good job, wasn't he?
I mean, when you look at the performance on the pitch that he got out of these players last season and this season, it's clear that, you know, he's a manager, and I think people know this already from his time at Everton and Bristol City. They know he's a manager who is good in the WSL and can get results out of players. And he was given a big budget this season, from what I understand, that it was a budget that was supposed to help the Foxes kind of break into the top half of the table. Recent results since he was kind of put on the back benches, really, the results have dipped somewhat. And I think that's probably to be expected with the nature of the allegations that were put against him. The club statement read pretty interestingly to me, to be fair. It's talked about an extensive internal disciplinary process, and that actually the code of conduct was only brought in this season by Leicester City, which I believe they're one of the only clubs in the WSL that prohibit manager-player relationships. And it's actually not something that happens in many other clubs. And in fact, the FA guidance itself says, as long as the player is over 18, then they don't see anything wrong with it. And it's an systemic problem within the women's game, and it needs sorting out.
I mean, Kate, we were talking about this just before we came live. I met my wife in the workplace. We both worked in the same company. do you think it's a bit over the top by Leicester? I mean, as far as we know, there's nothing illegal gone on.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a code of conduct that's been breached, he's probably signed a contract to that effect. So there's not a lot he can say about it, really. It's pretty cut and dry. So I don't really understand the part of the statement that said there'd been a lengthy internal procedure, unless there was something to prove or not prove in some capacity. I don't know. But yeah, I don't see a problem with it, because if two consenting adults decide to have a relationship, as long as it bears no impact on team selection, favouritism, arguments, uncomfortable nature, any atmosphere that can be created as a result of a relationship, then I have no problem with it. But at the end of the day, you sign a contract. And I didn't know that until Owen said that we're the only club to do that. So you've got a decision to make, and he's suffered the penalty ultimately, really.
I suppose, Owen, you know, you bring these things in to just try and keep everything clear and, you know, above board, and so to avoid this type of thing. I mean, if there's been this long and lengthy inquiry, would you presume that they've got somebody in mind? I mean, they're talking that Jennifer Foster and Stephen Kirby will sort of lead the team, as they have been doing. And we've been unlucky with results. I don't think we've, you know, played particularly badly in games. But because that this inquiry has been going on, do you think they've got somebody in mind?
I think, you know, the football club has always been pretty good in identifying the next player, the next manager, all those different kind of things. It's the bringing them in part that seems to be a problem for this football club in the end, and getting it done in the right kind of times. But in terms of creating shortlists and having those people kind of primed and ready, as you know, they do their research and they do that kind of thing really well. And I think even before something like this would have happened, directors of football, people at board level would have been looking and going, well, if this was to happen, if for example we did need to move the manager or this player or a coach on for whatever reason, whether it was performance based or something like this, where it comes down to a breach of a code of conduct, then they will have someone in mind, I'm sure. But it's about trying to do that deal now. And I guess Leicester are in a good position in that they have shown they can support managers financially in this division, but they've also shown that they're probably not going to get relegated, are they? Would have to go disastrously wrong, and Bristol City would have to be unbelievable for the remainder of the season for Leicester to go down. So they're in a really safe position. And for any manager coming in, it's a nice position to come into, isn't it? You're coming into a side that can't get relegated, and you know in the summer you're probably going to be back with cash.
Exactly. Well, let's move on, because that's as much as what we know about the situation at the moment. What gets me in, and I was on Talk TV over the weekend, and I followed Alan Parry. Unfortunately, he was let go before I was on, so I had to vent my anger at Gavin McGough. I was a little bit angry, wasn't I, Kate? You know,
a high horse certainly left the stable for sure.
I didn't swear. I did accuse Alan Parry of talking BS, but I didn't actually say the words, you know. But he was. I'm sorry. He was. But look, for me, Owen, when I look at this and everything that's going on, we were warned at the start of last season, before our relegation season, that, you know, we were running sailing close to the wind with FFP, and that was game from UEFA, as far as I know. And we couldn't buy anybody. You know, we only bought Faz in when, you know, we sold Fofana, and we got punished. And we, you know, by getting relegated. So it looked like we were trying to comply with these rules. What's gone wrong from where you see it?
Yeah, this is a real interesting one, and because the rules are terrible and they don't actually make sense, because you have financial fair play, which is a UEFA ran thing, but then you also have to balance PSR, the profitability and sustainability rules, which is a Premier League thing. And if you know, if Leicester have breached the £36 million loss per season that they they are allowed to lose, or the 105 million, 106 million pounds across the 3 years, then they are going to find themselves in a position where the Premier League will be looking at that. And if they've broken the rules that are the Premier League rules, then they should be punished accordingly, just like what we've seen with Everton and Nottingham Forest at the moment. But it is a strange one, because like you say, they sold Wesley Fofana. They raked in 75 million quid for him. They only bought Wout Foss in for 15 million pounds. Then they only made the club knew that they were heading towards a bit of a struggle in the second part of the season, which is why they invested in the January window and brought in Suter and Christiansen and Tete. Clearly, none of those had the desired effect. None of them are at the club anymore, other than Christiansen and Suter, who, Suter's not featured, Christiansen out on loan. It's a real difficult one for the club and they're clearly, like you say, they're clearly trying to balance the books. They're clearly trying to bring cash in. Whether they did it in time or not, only time will tell when the Premier League release the information that will make this a hell of a lot clearer.
Kate, you made the point, didn't you, that there's almost like there was a loophole that they hadn't realised that. You know, what do they do if they want to charge a team that's got relegated? Because we don't fall into EFL because we're in the Premier League, but we're no longer in the Premier League. We're now in the EFL.
Yeah, it just seemed to scream. I mean, I don't know that for a fact. It just seemed to scream that to me, that the EFL didn't have jurisdiction. So they went and said to the Premier League, well, you need to deal with these guys then. And then it seemed to transpire that in the Premier League's rules, they don't have potentially jurisdiction if the club is now out of the league. So I feel like there's a chance that it could have fallen between two stools. It doesn't necessarily mean we haven't breached, because I think the next time you're back in the Premier League, you're going to get done. But I think there's a possibility that maybe the Premier League just haven't considered the point that what happens if a team breaches and pays the ultimate price of relegation. Did we forget to think about that? Because, Everton and Forest, you can just follow suit with others, that they're still in the league where they breached the rules. So it's a tough one. That I feel like that may be why we've got the bit between our teeth in terms of making sure that they follow protocol lawfully. Because if you've not followed protocol lawfully, like in any hearing, whether it's criminal or not, you struggle to stand by the rules that you've made yourself because you haven't followed protocol properly. And that could be the hook that they find themselves on. But it doesn't excuse us for breaching, because we've absolutely breached. It would take an absolute miracle for us to not, looking at the last 2 years' figures. But I think that could be where that could be the jugular that we're going for, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, and I was talking, like I say, to Gavin, ex-press officer at the EFL, and he was sort of, because I said to him, it's like failing your driving test before you get in the car. You know, they've charged us before we've actually brought our final figures out. And he's saying that, well, they won't have charged us unless they had a really strong feeling that we were going to have breached it. And yes, it probably looks like we are, but you surely can't charge until you know the full facts.
Yeah, well, it's important, I think, to look at the two charges very, very differently. The Premier League one probably has a lot more weight behind it than the EFL one, which I found absolutely absurd. The more you read into it, the more you realise how nonsensical it is. How can you charge someone or a club for a quote unquote crime when they've not committed that said crime yet? Yeah, they may be en route to doing that kind of thing, but they've not done it yet. They have until the end of June, where the season officially ends on the final day in June, and that is essentially what happens. There's meetings between all the clubs, and Leicester will hand back their championship registration certificate, and then they'll go to another meeting, and if they are back in the Premier League, they'll pick up their Premier League certificate to say they're a shareholder of that league again. So the EFL charge is absolutely ridiculous, and that's why Leicester won that appeal in court, that they didn't have to provide a business plan for a charge they've not failed yet, because they could sign, they could sell. I mean, none of us want to see Kiernan Dewsbury Hall leave this football club, but no one else want to see Harry Winks or any of these great players leave the football club. But they could sell four players in June when the window opens, and it would count towards this season because the season doesn't end until the final day in June. They could sign ridiculous commercial deals. They could get a new shirt sponsor between now and the end of the season. They could sell the naming rights to the stadium. They could sell the naming rights to the training ground. All these different kind of things. The commercial deals could bring a hell of a lot of cash in, as well as player trading. That would mean that Leicester wouldn't actually break the rules set out by the EFL. So that charge is ridiculous. The Premier League charge, totally different, because actually it's looking at a season that's already been and gone. And as Kate kind of said, it would be remarkable if they had managed to get themselves back in line. But the investment, I guess, into the team didn't pay off, because if they invest and they get back in Europe and they finish in the top eight in the Premier League, then we're talking about millions and millions of pounds more money coming into the football club. And this isn't a thing.
2 points you made there, Owen, if I can stick with Kate, doesn't mind me just sticking with you for a minute. You said about the naming rights of the stadium and the commercial side. So, you know, your shirt sponsorship. Now, they are obviously both with King Power. I don't know. I'm guessing that there is a deal that they've had to sign between, or it's just a case of, well, we own the club, we're going to name it. Because they did have FBS, and they, you know, that disappeared, and we're back to KP on the front of the shirts. I mean, are those deals not sort of included, or are King Power not paying extra for the sort of the name in the stadium and sponsoring the shirts?
I would expect. I mean, none of us really know. And this is all guesswork here, isn't it? But I would expect that King Power would be paying a fee for the shirt naming rights, or the branding on the front of the shirt, similar to how Etihad at Manchester City do it. You know, the Manchester City owners own Etihad as well. So
yeah,
very similar kind of thing going on there. And I would fully expect that they'd be paying some form of fee for that. The difficulty would come for Leicester is that all sponsorship deals have to be kind of signed off and to be looked at to make sure they're fair market value. So if Leicester went all of a sudden, hey, that's right, we're just going to put a new sponsor on the back of the shirt, it's only going to be, you know, an inch square, but actually, you know, we're going to charge £300 million a season for this from a company that doesn't currently exist, then that is when, you know, the authorities would draw a line and say that sort of thing can't happen, to just get yourself out of hot water. So they'd have to score deals, commercial deals, that were a fair market value. And I'm assuming that the King Power deal would very much be that for the shirt sponsor and possibly the stadium naming as well.
Thing is, though, Kate, is anybody going to want to touch us at the moment?
I think so. I think we're still going to be solvent and active. And I think we're one of the top teams in the UK. So I can't see why anybody would want to steer away from sponsorship. I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? And I think a lot of people, after the anger and some resentment has calmed down in terms of the direction of Leicester City, I think a lot of fans are thinking, yeah, this could easily happen to our club. It's not like you've purposely cheated. I don't see it. The word cheating is really, I think it's just overused. It's just we've mismanaged, we've made some errors, we've made some poor signings, and such is the narrow path, the narrow fairway of the FFP world, that any slight deviation, you can really find yourselves in hot water that then gets worse, doesn't it? That it just gravitates towards financial problems big time and points deductions and all sorts. So yeah, I don't think people will shy away from sponsoring this, because at the end of the day, we're still going to be a top 20-ish club in the UK. So
is it going to be my last question before I go into the comments, Owen? But are you surprised? Because I'm certainly surprised at the vitriol towards top. You know, I put a post out saying we should be back in top, let's get behind him, and I've had other channels reposting it with big, you know, smiley emojis saying this is the guy that's got us into all this trouble. I mean, you know, it smacks to me of short memories, but does that surprise you?
It does and it doesn't, because I think it's not just Leicester City that are like this. Every single football club has extremes one way or another in terms of opinion in the fan base. It's what this game does to us, doesn't it? We've all got the different opinions on things. I personally think the abuse or the doubting of Kuntop is a little premature. I think you have to remember that, you know, he is currently also running a huge, huge company in King Power whilst delegating roles. I mean, let's not be right. He's not signing off on every single little thing for both of these companies, because that would just be unmanageable. There is a form of delegation in hand. I think it's, you know, you have to look at what that family have done for the football club and taken Leicester City to the Premier League, writing off hundreds of millions pounds worth of debt. Imagine if they hadn't done that, like the financial situation would be so much worse. And they've done that twice. They've written off over 100 million pounds worth of debt twice now, I think. And it just shows you the commitment they have to the football club and everything that goes with it. And I think what this all comes down to is a really poor summer of signings. Brendan Rodgers got Leicester to fifth in the Premier League the first time round. And then he wanted, you know, investment to go one more. And Leicester went out and back to their manager and they got the signings wrong. Vestergaard, Soumare, Daka and Lookman. It was their biggest ever net spend. They didn't sell a key player. They moved away from the model to try and compete with the top six. And now they've learned their lesson now, because they've realised that a club in this new football world, with the rules that the governing bodies are bringing in, which benefit the top six more than anyone else in the division, you can't work like that. You cannot go and spend whatever you want to try and compete, because the numbers won't add up and you'll get points deductions unless you continue to punch above your weight consistently. And that's why Brighton are doing so well, because they're finding these gems and they've taken that Leicester City model to the next level and evolved it. And that's what the club have got to go back to now.
Yeah, I think we've lost our way when it comes to that, isn't it? And Kate, it's almost like we sailed a bit close to the sun and got our wings burnt. But, you know, these are the same fans that would have been moaning if we hadn't made that investment and tried to do it. I'm old enough to remember Leeds United when, you know, under David O'Leary, when they tried to go for it. They made a bigger mess of it than we did, obviously. But I don't think we're going to be the last club that we see, you know. And I see a lot of Leeds fans coming on here going, like you say, cheat and all this and taking it beyond banter. And I'm sat there thinking, yeah, just be careful here, because I don't think we're going to be the last club, are we, Kate?
No, not at all. And as with football, you see it in some of the bigger clubs as well. And you've seen it with Newcastle this year. To stand still in spending terms is to go backwards. Such is the rate of football inflation prices and just spending in general. Like Manchester City, think about how much they spend every summer. They had to get Haaland in, who's arguably one of the best cheap code players you'll ever see, to just stay on top. They didn't win it by 20 points, did they? They had one of the best players that we've seen in a generation, really. So it's just constantly trying to invest. But what really grinds my gears about this whole thing is that Top has money. We aren't broke. He's a billionaire many times over. And he can't put money, or he's restricted in putting money into his own asset that he owns, because you're only allowed to put so much of your own cash in to help your company prosper. Now, in UK company law, I can't think of anything else that would happen in outside of football. So Top can add more cash and capital to the company, but he's restricted in doing so. And I'm absolutely fine with it if that's a level playing field across all clubs in the UK or in England. But as we've seen with Roman Abramovich, it was 2003. With the owners of Manchester City, it was 2008. And then the rules came in 2011. So they've had all their cash injections. So it's not a level starting point, is it, at all? That's what's really frustrating about it. So they can do it. And that's in the past, and that's retrospective, and that's legacy stuff. But we've all got to compete. So how are we meant to compete when their clubs are already awash with funds that will continually churn and be able to spend and obtain these players? And the rest of the people, like poor Notts Forest, who weren't even allowed to draw on parachute payments, I say, no, mate, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to spend any of that. Your owner's got money, but you're not allowed to spend any of it. And that's just where I find it really frustrating. And like Owen said, it the number one factor in the rules seems to be to protect what is in the top six and the status quo of the league. And it's really dangerous to do that with competitive sport because nobody wants a 2-3-4 horse race. It's boring.
No,
I
agree
with everything Kate said, apart from the poor Notts Forest bit.
Well, I was going to say then, please nobody clip this, but she does talk a bit of sense there. I will never say it again. But it's true. But the interesting thing was, and live with the last one, like I say, we'll go on to viewers' comments and questions, that the gentleman I spoke to from that was the ex-EFL executive, he was kind of hinting that something could be happening with Chelsea quite soon. And I think fans would say, if they saw that happening, they would think, well, at least those big clubs are getting done as well.
Yeah, the UEFA are already closing loopholes in their laws, aren't they? Because you can see the Chelsea are benefiting from the fact that there was no limit on the, I think it's amortization, is that the right word to describe it? Where they were splitting costs of players over 9 years. That's why they've been able to buy all these players, because they've essentially invested in 21-year-olds on 8-year contracts, knowing that they're going to be, or hoping they're going to be, the next big thing down the line. But they're only paying off payments of, you know, of 10 million a year for the next 9 years, which is why they're able to bring and buy and spend the enormous amount which they are. They've actually not spent all that much. But Kate, you were bang on. You know, Roman Abramovich came in at the perfect time, didn't he? Just as the Premier League was really exploding and was going global, just as technology was allowing it to really go global, he came in and put together like England's Galacticos, really, didn't he? Anyone who was any good ended up at Chelsea.
And I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I actually loved that era of Premier League football. I thought it was great.
It was the influx of cash made it more entertaining. All of a sudden,
absolutely. I almost feel like the rules have become so opaque and ambiguous that you may as well say, get rid of them, because no one can sort of see the wood for the trees with it all. And you don't quite know where you necessarily stand. And then you've got to think about competing. Like, it's just... I just find it really incredibly frustrating. You talk about Leeds, like I sadly did my university dissertation on Leeds United and their financial problems versus Manchester United at the time, to talk about a well-run business versus a poorly run business and the impact of Sky TV on that. That was my dissertation, basically. And the cost that Leeds were spiralling out of control, it was something like $2,500 a week was spent running the chairman's fish tank. It was something silly like that. I'm not even joking. It was absolutely obscene. And you just think that's just total mismanagement and opulent living of a club that couldn't sustain it.
What have you got against fish, Kate? I'm sorry, we love fish on this channel. Don't be started. Before I go on to the comments, I've got to say, does anybody else notice that Owen and Kate may actually be in the same room, because their wall colours are pretty similar, only a slight change, maybe because of the light is built pointing one way. I'm not casting any aspersions at all, but it has been worrying me. Anyway, let's move on very quickly before I get anybody in trouble. Matthew Harrison. Hi, Matthew. How are you doing? He's a Bournemouth fan. Some great shows recently, Chris. Thank you very much, sir, for your kind words. Well done to you and the team during a difficult time for the club. Mate, you've had more difficult times than we have at Bournemouth, I'll tell you. Looking forward to seeing you back in the Premier League next season. Thank you very much for your kind words. Scott says, how much are we going to have to receive from player sales before June the 30th? Would you have any idea on that at all? Or if you don't say.
Well, without looking at the current club accounts for this season, it's really hard to say, because you don't know how much the club in this, because that's in relation to the EFL charge. And so that is this season we are currently in. And we won't get this set of accounts until this time next year. from the football club when the financial year ends. So it's not very easy to say really, because none of the statements from the EFL actually say how much Leicester City are going to be over the PSR, because remember, you can have add backs into that as well. So anything that goes into community charitable arms of the football club, anything that's to do with women's football, infrastructure like training grounds, stadium expansions, academies, all that stuff doesn't get counted towards PSR. And that's why you might go, how can they only lose 36 million a season? And I see these clubs losing 90, 100, 120 million a season. That's the reason why, is because PSR and FFP only look at what's happening on the pitch. So in answer to the question, I've gone through having to get to Shepshed there, haven't I? It's difficult to say.
Well, let me ask that. This is a question that I'm going to ask it now, because I'm of an age where if I don't ask it now, I forget. It's stupid, and Kate and me were talking about it on a show we did recently. Only football could put a transfer embargo on when there isn't actually a transfer window to embargo against. But how does this affect? Because obviously, if we do get promoted, and fingers crossed, touch wood, and walk under a ladder and all that, that we will get promoted. Obviously, if we do, we have to sign Fatawu. And we all know, I think, we all want to sign. Everybody was shouting, sign him in January, sign him in January. How does that affect where we stand with Fatawu?
Now, this is really interesting, because my understanding is that he's already gone past the threshold in terms of appearances for the obligation to be triggered. So Leicester may have to wait until July, if they are in the Premier League, when then they'll be no longer under an EFL transfer embargo, or registration embargo, as they called it. And they'll be able to sign him freely then, because they'll be back in the Premier League. As the interesting thing with this registration embargo is that it actually stops the club from signing off new deals for players currently at Leicester City as well. The EFL, rather than put a transfer embargo.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I decided a registration one would be better, and it's because it's tougher. So Leicester, at the moment, would have to seek EFL permission to sign up or re-sign players like Jamie Vardy, Kelechi Iheanacho, Wilfred Ndidi, Yannick Vestergaard, any of those players that are out of contract, Mark Albrighton, Dennis Pratt, whatever. And there may be some of those that Leicester don't want to keep anyway, but you would imagine that going into the Premier League, they'd quite like a midfielder like Wilfred Ndidi, and they might like to extend Kieran Dewsbury-Hall's contract. Those kind of things they can't currently do until this registration embargo is lifted without permission from the EFL. So it's possible, but with the way things are going, and by the looks like the Premier League and EFL want Leicester City blood, they might not sign off on those deals. So it's just a risk that Leicester are going to have to manage.
No problem. Brilliant. Matt, I think we know the answer to this one, but he says, hi, Owen, what are the chances of getting a points deduction this year, or can we delay beyond the end of the season? I think we know it's not going to happen this season, don't we?
Yeah, zero chance of that happening this season. The EFL can't charge Leicester with a points deduction because they've not done anything wrong as yet, officially. And the Premier League don't have jurisdiction in the EFL. So any points deduction would come next season.
Yeah. Wayne says here, and do interrupt if you've got a question at all, Kate. Are Leicester confident because they can state the organised organisational mess of the PL not dealing with Everton during last season that would have meant LCFC stayed up?
That's quite good, actually. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. So I'm just having a read of the question there.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated.
I think he's basically saying if Everton had been punished in the season that they perhaps should have been, so Leicester wouldn't have finished bottom. Leicester wouldn't have been in the bottom three, so we wouldn't have got relegated, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't have been out the Premier League and not necessarily lost some money into this year for this year's revenues, if you know what I mean, because we would have been in the Prem if Everton had been dealt with properly.
Yes, so Leicester would have, Leicester's financial hit would only show in this year's accounts rather than the year that they've been charged by for the Premier League. There is a mess there, but when you get relegated, you don't get money taken away from you, you just get given a lot less. I think that each place in the Premier League is roughly about £3 to £5 million. So even one more place up, there's another £3 million in the kitty. And you have access to the Premier League revenue, TV revenue as well, which Leicester, of course, have got loans out against with the Macquarie Bank at the moment. So they're having to use all of their parachute payments pretty much to pay that loan off and the interest on that loan. So, I don't know whether I've answered the question, really.
That's where it becomes woolly, though, isn't it? That question that Wayne's asked. If teams breach the season before but aren't dealt with till the season after, and that's what's caused your relegation, it's just a constant mess.
Mm. Well, you look at Leeds United now. They finished second bottom, but the three teams above them, Leicester, Everton and Forest, have all been charged with PSR alleged breaches. So if all those got dealt with, they might have stayed up.
Yeah. With Manchester City, if this goes back the best part of a decade, which I think it does, you can't take their Premier League winners' medals off them, give them to the people in second place, rehash the Champions League draws that they would have got favourably because it would have been a better Champions League draw that they got for coming first. You can't go back. You can do financial and you can do points penalties, but you can't go back. You can't undo that season's placings and the knock-on effects of placing in that league at that point and the draws that would make in the Champions League, Europa League or the Conference. You can't redo that.
I think it is just, I think you said this to me, Owen, on a message once, it's just a mess. There's no other way.
Not necessarily the whole thing, but for me, When I read through and I spend too much of my life reading through Premier League rule handbooks and stuff like that, yeah. And you have to, there has to be a point, and I think the Premier League are getting wise to this, to be honest. There has to be a point where you draw a line in the sand and go, right, they were the rules, but going forward, these are going to be the new rules. And it has to be made much simpler. They need to work with the EFL to create these rules, because it doesn't match up, it doesn't follow through the divisions. And this is why they're getting the problems with Leicester and Forest, because Leicester have had 2 years in the Premier League, 1 year in the Championship. Where do we look for the figures? Forest the other way around, 2 years in the Championship, 1 year in the Prem when you look across the three-year period. The whole thing is a mess.
Can I just ask, I've got a question that I wanted to ask Owen. In terms of a regulator, and I think you said earlier, which I didn't quite realise, that the Premier League is under PSR rules, and UEFA set the FFP rules. So the head governing body of our football is the FA. So where does the regulator sit? Is it above the FA? Is it in between the, or where do you think it might sit? Like,
yeah, so the independent yeah. fan kind of regulator. I don't know really. And this is the problem. People don't really know or understand
weird pyramid, isn't it? You don't know where everyone sits in the pyramid in their jurisdiction, I guess, over each other. And
because it's fair to say that the Premier League have more power than the FA, because the Premier League is the dominant force of world football, can do whatever it likes, really. It makes billions of pounds. It brings in millions of pounds of revenue to the country. It provides hundreds of athletes with huge wages that they all pay tax on. It provides an entertainment industry. It helps keep pubs afloat. It does all these different things. It's one of the biggest economies in the country. And How do you regulate that? How do you look after that? And why can the independent regulator, which is an arm of the government, meddle in a capital corporate affair? That does it have the jurisdiction? Does it have the power to do that? I bet you the Premier League could say no, it doesn't.
That's what makes me think and makes me really cynical that they're, this is why the quick rules were brought in, because there's a pending looming regulator. And they're thinking,
but the Premier League want to show that it can regulate itself.
Yeah, but also we best do what we can, lawfully or unlawfully, and make some of the rules up as we go along, because there's no regulator yet.
Yeah.
That's very good. The very good points, actually. And when I was speaking to Gavin, like I say, from the ex-EFL, he was saying, and you made the point about it is so difficult to understand, because obviously one of Leicester's arguments is that we want everything to be out in the open and it's all done behind closed doors. It's like secret society with the Masons and tickling each other's hands when you shake and all that sort of thing. I kept that theme.
What you do at your weekends, mate, is none of my business.
I know, TMI.
That's a later show after midnight. But he said it is all available. All you've got to do is Google it. So I actually thought, okay, I'll Google it. I might as well have been reading something in Chinese. You know, as a normal football fan, it made absolutely no sense whatsoever to me.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, you know, Brian Clough said it's a simple game that's made complicated. It is, it is. But look, you know, do you think this confusion then that is being caused? And I was looking at obviously our solicitor that we've got in at this. He's already won one case, if you like. And somebody said in the chat, are we going to get the book thrown at us because we dared to sort of question, you know, the charges and get some of them dropped? Because I noticed that Notts Forest said, you know, they got it down from a 6 to a 4 because they cooperated. And then they're not cooperating now. They're appealing it.
Yeah,
don't get that. But, you know, so, are we likely to suffer because we've stood up and said, look, we're not going to, you know, roll over and you can tickle our tummy sort of thing?
Yeah, probably. The jurisdiction on these charges is, and this is one thing that Leicester City are really not happy about, is that the Premier League have charged them, despite not being a Premier League club at the moment. And Leicester feel that them trying to be ambitious and really push on and show ambition and provide investment shouldn't be punished in the same way that Everton have been been running their football club. Because you look at Leicester, the track record of Leicester over the last their first 8 years in the Premier League over the last nine were outstanding. You know, they won the Premier League. They provided the greatest ever escape. They spent the most time across two seasons in the top four. Yes, they finished fifth, but a club of Leicester's size still finished fifth, eighth. They won it. They performed very, very well in Europe. You know, they had. And I think the club's argument is they had reasonable expectations to say that they could sustain that, because they had been doing for 3 years in the top 10 of the Premier League. A disastrous season has shown that, you know, that can all be unravelled if you don't get your recruitment right. So it's something that the club are going to fight until the very, very end.
Some of the talkings last year, as when we were in the Premier League last year, that we were like seventh, I think, in the wage table, something like that, I think, which to me feels about right, because we were fifth and eighth. So to carry on trying to progress and even maintain a top eight finish, you've probably got to have, that would correlate with the wage bill. I get that looks rubbish when you finish 19th or whatever we did, 18th, but that kind of correlates with me. And one season you get it wrong and you're throwing the book out, really. No room for error.
Were we punished for trying to live the dream? What do you think, Owen?
Well, I mean, important to say they've not been punished yet.
Well, no. Are we likely to be punished for trying to live the dream? Sorry.
Yeah, trying to, and for a moment doing so, and then getting it wrong is what they're being punished for. Yeah. If Leicester City, I mean, let's play the hypothetical game. If they found themselves in a position where they were qualifying for at the very minimum the Europa League, so they're finishing fifth or they're winning a trophy every season, they're going into the Europa League, they're finishing very, very high in the Premier League table, then they would be able to be bringing in millions and millions of pounds a year just off being in the European competition and just off of being in the Premier League, being that high, and therefore they would be able to sustain this kind of thing. They wouldn't be able to bring in the same caliber of player that Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea, whatever do, but they would be able to sustain the level that they'd invested to. But when you fall away from that and you drop from fifth, eighth to 18th, and you've spent loads of money on players that got you there, you had to, I mean, that's Brendan Rodgers, I'm sure, you know, he was being rumoured on being on an awful lot of money. And I'm sure, you know, this is a football club who look after their staff. Let's be right. They do look after them. They give them nice deals. The players get good contracts and they get paid a good wage. And so do the management. When all of these things start going wrong, it's going to cost the club money, and that's what they're being punished for getting it wrong in transfer windows and not being able to perform on the pitch. If they finish sixth again last year, none of this is happening.
I said earlier, Kate, about the fans that were turning on top, and I sometimes feel that these are the fans, as Owen was saying, you know, that were moaning when we finished fifth. Fifth wasn't good enough. We should have finished fourth. You know, why didn't we buy this player? Why didn't we buy that player? And, you know, we tried to hang on to the coattails of the big boys. And like I say, you know, sometimes I just feel we've been, you know, I think the club that said, you know, we are allegedly being punished for trying to live the dream.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say than that, really, is there? I think Leicester were knocking on the door of entering and being a permanent fixture in the top six, which I don't think was particularly liked. And we've said before, the top four or six teams in the Prem do generate the most revenue because their fan base is massive. Man United is a global entity. There's no doubt about that. But you just feel, I just constantly feel that we tried to get into a party where we weren't invited and we accidentally won the league and it allowed us to dream and believe. And why shouldn't we want to invest in that to try and get it again? And it worked to a degree. And we won the FA Cup as well, which was something I never thought I'd ever see. So why can't you? And it goes back to the point of it's just now a closed gentleman's club at the top of that Premier League. There's not a level playing field when the rules were established, because the likes of Chelsea and Man City already had billions pumped into it, and it was the club was awash. They couldn't help but spend because there was so much surplus in those clubs. So you try and come in little old Leicester, who are just trying to make a living and cobble together some really good assets and sell them for fortunes, which we were doing, which was a great model. It's really difficult to find diamonds in the rough consistently. And it's just our proposition in the same league, playing the same sport, is a different proposition to the main top six in the same league, in the same sport. And that's what fans get annoyed with.
Before I come to Miguel's comment, which I put up, I'll bring that back up in a second. Owen, just going on there from what Kate said, and I've discovered a lot of things as I was Googling away. And one of them was...
It's a family show, Chris.
Yeah, well, it's one of the pleasures.
I bet you did, Chris.
What are these images? Click on images.
Can I? No, I never said images. You're making
retired life.
This is what Incognito was invented for. Let me just say that.
Reading the EFL rule handbook 2023-24.
Rule handbook.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I just don't spell it that way. But as I was Googling, I came across a story from The Independent. I don't know, you may well have seen it, Owen. It's from Miguel Delaney, and I quoted this to Gavin the other day. He wrote a piece, and this goes back to 2020, how modern football became broken beyond repair. And just following on from what Kate said, he starts it with the quote, "We don't want too many Leicester cities." These are the words spoken by a senior figure from the Premier League's Big Six, in inverted commas, clubs, in the kind of high-end London hotel you can easily imagine, like the one that Kate's in. Football history suggests that fans like big teams winning, the official continued to the group of business people and media figures present. A certain amount of unpredictability is good, but a more democratic league would be bad for business. I mean, we've always kind of knew that that was what they were thinking, but I mean, that's damning, isn't it, really?
It is. And the reason why they think that fans like to see big clubs winning is that if Manchester United win the league, there's going to be more fans happy than if Leicester City win the league, because they've got more fans. And that's just the pure and simple of it. You know, you can make stats out to read however you want them to read.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, that prejudice, is what these rules are helping, encouraging, actually, when you look at it. Because you look at a club like Manchester City or Manchester United, probably the biggest club in the world, certainly one of the most commercially successful clubs in the world. And that's why they've been able to sustain paying ridiculous fees and ridiculous wages to players who are not worth it in their attempt to catch up with Manchester City. How are they allowed to lose the same amount of money as Luton Town? £105 million loss across 3 years would bankrupt Luton Town. They do not have the facilities for that. They do not have the infrastructure available. They do not have the financial backing to deal with that kind of thing. And that's just outrageous. You know, you've got Luton Town and Burnley and clubs like Leicester, when they get promoted, if they get promoted next season, will have to spend a lot of money to just make themselves competitive. And if it doesn't work, all of a sudden they're hit with more charges. Whilst the top six just continue essentially running a cartel.
For me, you see, the counter argument to that is, well, Leicester City winning the Premier League gave more publicity to the Premier League around the world than Man United winning it for the umpteenth time. But maybe I've got blue tinted glasses on here. But I want to go back to Miguel. Nice to see you looking relaxed from your holiday, Owen. In my opinion, if there was a way we can keep KDH, we'd make this Leicester supporter from Michigan very happy. Look, we've got to accept he is our most sellable asset, I guess, isn't he?
Yeah, once Harvey Barnes and James Maddison leave the football club, and the form of players like Kelechi Iheanacho and of course the fact that Iheanacho and Ndidi are on contracts have run out in at the end of June, Kieran Dewsbury-Hall on a big 5-year deal is definitely the most sellable asset at the football club. And if they were to continue their current process and the process that they had before that one summer where it all went wrong, he probably is the one that would bring in the most amount of cash. The problem with selling Kieran Dewsbury-Hall now is that if you were to sell a player like that for 40 million, let's just say, in the Premier League, you've got to go and spend £40 million to get a player to come in and do the exact same thing. And I don't think there's too many players around who can do what he does. The kind of engine, the way he keeps the midfield ticking over. Yes, sometimes his pass selection isn't great. And sometimes he has a bit of a dodgy touch or whatever you want to level at him. The desire that he wears for the shirt is worth more than 40 million or what anyone could pay.
Yeah, I think this is your mother by any other name. I like Owen's BBC radio broadcast.
Cheers, Mom.
Yeah. Told you, don't bring her in. Don't bring her in. Scott, coming towards the end here, Scott says, what is the difference between the UEFA rules which were in breach of breaking to the ones we are now in breach of breaking? I think you need a separate show for that, don't you?
10 o'clock at night and you're putting those questions out.
Yes, yeah. I think we've kind of touched on that. We'll finish with this one. I'll get both your thoughts on this. Glad that Leicester are taking them on. Really proud that we are the only Premier team to vote no to charging fans £14.95 PPV during COVID. This was what annoyed me as well on the TV show. Did that. One of the many things that annoyed me was that he kept saying, but you voted for these rules, but you voted for these rules. And I was saying, like, no, we didn't vote for these like, do it in the same season rules because we weren't in the Premier League when they were coming in. So, A, we didn't vote for them. But how do we know we voted for them? We had to go along with them, but you only need 14 out of the 20 clubs to agree to something for it to be passed. Half of those 14 are the big six. So we don't know that we've agreed to all this, but we obviously got to abide by the rules. But do you think we're doing the right thing, Owen, to take them on? The million-dollar question.
I mean, I would love to come back to that question in 6 months' time, Chris.
let me make a note in my diary.
to be honest, I think whether Leicester take it on or not, the Premier League will want to show more than anything, based on what we touched on earlier, that they can regulate themselves and they can police themselves, and that the need for an independent regulator coming from the government is not there. I think I don't believe that Leicester City would issue a statement that strong with using the words, the language, the terminology that they did, if they didn't believe that they'd done the right thing, or there were certain reasons or mitigations as to why they had lost that amount of money. Now, whether that's right or not, will be up to the Premier League to decide. I think we can all probably guess which way that is going to go. But I actually quite enjoy the fact that Leicester are sticking up for themselves. I enjoy the fact they're not rolling over, and I like the fact they're standing up to the establishment a little bit. It's kind of playing back into that underdogs role. Maybe we're just all craving it after this season being top of the table for so long. Just give us an underdog story, please.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. As you know, I write for the BBC every Tuesday. So that's bbc.co.uk/LCS.
Chris mentions it a lot.
I do.
Very good articles.
I'm giving it a push.
And I'm glad you remember to do them, Chris, because I always forget.
Well, I have to.
Can you text me when you do yours?
I'll send you a message. Mine's quarter past. Sorry, 12 o'clock on a Monday. My deadline. But they messaged me and they said, "Would we all? Because there was no games. It was an international break. Would we all do a roundup of what we were hoping for between now and the end of the season?" So I messaged them back and said, "Do you want me to do something about, you know, all the things that are going on with the FFP?" And they went, "Oh yes, good idea." You know, so I wrote it all for them. I said, "Look, you know, I'm limited to the number of words, and I have probably gone over that half again, but I said it's all in context." Well, they ripped half of it out because I think I was possibly being a little bit libelous. I don't know, but they did take most of it out. But I said at the end of it, because they did ask me to put a bit on at the end, and I said, Kate, that what I hope from this, and Leicestershire Live have said no, for this Band of Brothers effect, that we can all become that sort of club again, where we can all get, you know, sing from the same song sheet, but it doesn't appear to be happening.
No, I think there's always a lot of anger and pointing the finger when you don't know all the facts as well, really. There's just a lot of rumours going around. But that's what it made me feel last week. I got quite angry, as you know, Chris. We did a show on Friday about it, didn't we? I was quite angry. I felt the siege mentality wash over me because I was like, go on, top. Come on. Like, because if there's a problem with any of the rules and protocol that the Premier League have followed, that would screw them over. That would absolutely screw them over. And I think it's all right, Forest getting 2 points knocked off for good behaviour and yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. But Leicester can actually prove that we tried to stay within the rules by not signing players and having pretty much a quiet window for a couple of windows, whereas Forest signed a small village in one of their windows. So we can actually show that we tried, we really tried. We knew we were on the cusp of it. The wages and existing contracts were all in progress and there's nothing we can do to alter those. But we tried to cut back. And that's what you should get points knocked off for good behaviour, because you've actually tried to wind your neck in. But I'm just not sure they'll see it like that. I feel like Leicester are poking the bear, but I don't think they do so without due cause and without advice from that hotshot lawyer who clearly knows his onions.
Hopefully so. He's had the experience. And I'm just looking at your last blog here on the BBC website, Owen, on the Leicester City page.
I've gone back for a long time to find that one.
I was going to say, how often do you have to do it? But you said it should not come as a surprise. So should we have been expecting this, do you think?
I mean, I don't think it should come as a surprise, that this kind of thing, because all the warning signs were there as soon as Brendan Rodgers started talking about the fact that, that they weren't able to sign players. And he spent a month or two in the summer convincing players to come, and then he was told by the club when he got back that they weren't able to stump up the cash for them. When they're selling Wesley Fofana and only bringing in one player, when they're struggling to get deals over the line in the January transfer window this year, and Enzo Maresca's talking about there's no cash. The warning signs were all there, and it's come around now, but hindsight will be a wonderful thing in a few months' time when we realise actually what the charges are, how much the club have lost, where it was attributed to, and whether their appeal will be successful or not. We'll have to wait and see.
Can I just ask really quickly on that point, sorry. In terms of speaking to Brendan and Enzo about these similar kinds of topics, how do they differ in terms of, like, from your perspective and interviewing them?
Not too dissimilar, to be honest. They kind of said pretty similar things. Just on that Brendan one, I remember the press conference when he came back in and was kind of like, when did you find out you weren't going to be able to sign loads of players this window? Because he was speaking about a rebuild for months. It was the subject of a lot of our podcasts. It was the subject of nearly every press conference, What does the rebuild look like? Have you identified how many players you need? Which positions? Do you know which players are leaving? Yes, blah, 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 blah. Yes, we've got a plan. And then first press conference of pre-season, you come in, where's this rebuild? It's, we're 8 weeks into a window. And Brendan said, I got told when I came back. And then Enzo Maresca was talking about strengthening the midfield in kind of early to mid-December time, and then it gets into January. Enzo, are you any closer to doing this kind of thing? No. And all of a sudden, the tone had changed. And I think it was Jordan Blackwell from the Mercury who asked about, when did you find that out? This was maybe a week or two into the window, and he said, a week ago. So they said similar things, and I wonder whether it's the club looking at what they've got as they go into the window, rather than getting a load of deals signed and whatever. It's right, let's get the day-to-day running of this club sorted, and let's see how many pennies are left in the pot when the window rolls around, and see what we can spend then.
Good question, Kate. Good question to end on. Can I just say a little bit of favouritism here? How many words are you given? I only get 200 words. You look like
they know you well. They know you well, Chris. They know you well.
No, to be fair, they only say 200 words to me. But similar to you, Chris, that 200 words wasn't enough last week, was it? So
that's words. 1,000-word one. That one is good.
Owen was knee deep in PSR rules. He was ready to do 200 pages.
But I'll have to have words about this favoritism. Owen, look, I appreciate your time and coming in, and thank you so very much. You've answered a lot of questions, you've been honest, and I really, really do appreciate it. I still reckon you're in Bristol as well, ready for tomorrow's game.
Are you doing tomorrow's game, Owen?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, so I'm going to bed pretty soon.
Who are you on with tomorrow, Pipes?
We've got Matty Fryer with us tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So I'm not sure I'm pretty sure he must have scored at Ashton Gate at some time in his career. So hopefully we can bring a little bit of that luck with us tomorrow.
Yeah. Brilliant, Owen. I'll let you go and get to bed. Thank you so very, very much. Really do appreciate it. And as somebody said earlier, the love of you is your mother, wasn't it? She love your podcast and everything. Keep up the good work. Thanks very much, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks
Thank
for having
you.
Me.
Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I won't keep you long, Kate, because obviously you're in the same building. Thank you very much. Just give a shout out to where people can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at KateBlakey40, so give us a follow on there.
And we'll see you tomorrow on the watch along.
Yes, you will. Probably windswept and, yeah. Looking like a Hollywood star, as usual.
I was going to say windswept and wet, but that sounds so wrong. You know,
that's that Googling for you, that is.
That is, it is. I'm not clipping that bit, I'll tell you. Really do appreciate your time giving up.
No worries.
You probably weren't going to go out anyway tonight because it's raining, but there we go. Thanks very much, Kate. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I'll speak to you there. Fingers crossed for 3 points. All the best.
Cool. See you tomorrow. Thanks,
bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks to Kate as well. Thanks to Owen. Really appreciate him coming on. Thanks to Kate as well. It's late on Thursday night. It's not Friday. I'm thinking because the match is tomorrow. We've got a match tomorrow. Watch along will be at 11:45 on this channel. Do join us. And we've got this coming up in the not-too-distant future. Two fans down the pub. Jack Shit get barred. Looking forward to that. That's going to be coming up on Tuesday evenings in the not too distant future. Could get interested as we are talking while we are drinking. Not literally, because obviously we would then go anywhere. Miguel, thank you so very much, mate. Appreciate your kind words. Wayne as well, and Matthew as well. Really do appreciate everybody coming in and adding the questions in. Really do appreciate gives me a break as well. And I really do appreciate that. If you're watching this on catch up, please do add your comments in the description below, and we'll do what we can to answer those. Like the video, it really does help. If anybody hasn't subscribed, and what it does by liking the video is it just clicks our analytics up a little bit and gets us on the homepage of those people. And obviously, if you're watching, I mean, obviously, if you've gone into the chat, you'll have had to subscribe. Don't unsubscribe afterwards. It does help the channel. It really, really does. Been an interesting week, hasn't it? And if you've been listening on podcast, thank you very much for lending me your ears. You can have them back now. I will see you tomorrow morning, 11:45. It's a bank holiday. It's football. It's going to be a big weekend for Leicester. How will we react? That's going to be the question. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Take care. Thanks very much. Sleep well. Come on, you foxes.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction from the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? Participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.